It is with real joy again we come to you, and we've enjoyed to the full our fellowshipping together on this program in the study of the Gospel through Luke. I sincerely hope that as you have been reading this precious Gospel, something of the tenderness and compassion of Christ will be flooding your heart, and for us each one to realize that God really loves men and women. I don't care what their circumstances may be, how weak or frail they are, the Lord is able to meet that need. He's a real, wonderful, perfect Savior. Now, we've been dealing with the 24th chapter of the Gospel through Luke, of how the Lord appeared unto the women, how the angels rebuked the women at the empty tomb for their unbelief. The angels drove them to the Scriptures. Then of how the Lord met with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I'm repeating these things. I want them very clear. These men and women did not lose their love for the Savior, nor did they lose their faith in the Savior. The thing they lost was their hope. We had hoped he would have redeemed Israel. But when death comes in, and you now well know it, that's the end of it. A person can be in trouble, and you can call a lawyer in, you can call a preacher in. If you're in financial trouble, you can call a bank in. If you're sick, you can call a doctor in. But when death comes, that's the end. So their Lord had died, had seen him crucified, was buried. And now they're full of fear, not knowing what to do. Their Lord was gone. And yet they were in love with him because they continually talked about who he was, what he was, what he had done, and how their hearts burned within them when the Lord came and discussed things with them. And then he met with Peter. He had a special meeting with Peter, private meeting with Peter. Peter needed that. And then we had the Lord meeting with the 11 disciples in the upper room. And you remember again, I want to say, he confirmed his resurrection by showing them his hands and his feet and his side. Now, I've been saying this, and I want to spend this time with you today on the import of the resurrection of Christ. If you allow me to do this, I'm going to repeat some things because I think the greatest thing we need to know today is the foundation of our Christian faith. If you take the book of Acts, for example, when the disciples went out preaching, they preached Jesus and the resurrection. More than 30 times in that book, they mentioned the resurrection of Christ. Less than 10 times the cross. See, if there's no resurrection, we have no good news for men and women. If Christ be not raised from the dead, we have no Savior. And this is a hard thing to say, but his life on earth, I begin to question his life on earth. I question the value of his death if there is no resurrection. The cross is the greatest tragedy in the world if there's no resurrection. And may I say, the resurrection of Christ is no more marvelous than his birth. No more marvelous than his life. No more marvelous than his death. And I've been saying that his birth was supernatural, his life was supernatural, his death was supernatural. And by the way, the early church never argued about the resurrection, whether it was a physical or whether it was spiritual. They proclaimed it. And that's our job today. I'm not defending the resurrection of Christ. I want to proclaim it. And for 1900 years, the Church of Christ has proclaimed the resurrection of Christ. Indeed, I'll tell you this, you can't explain Christianity. Transformed homes, transformed lives, transformed society, hospitals, you name it. Wherever the gospel has gone, there's been transformation. If Christ be not raised from the dead, something's wrong somewhere. No, my friend, the very work of the church through the years is a positive proof of the physical, wonderful resurrection of our Savior from the dead. And the early church never argued about it. They proclaimed it. And the resurrection means that God is perfectly satisfied with the work of his Son. Let me remember again, and I don't mind repeating this thing. You remember we had in chapter 23, where darkness is upon the earth, and the sun was dark, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Here you have a supernatural thing taking place when the Son of God died. There's no longer a barrier between God and men. How do I know? God raised him from the dead. God's righteous, holy character was vindicated at the cross. You remember in Romans 3:25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And when God raised his Son from the dead, he was telling men everywhere that God is free now to save any hell-deserving sinner and transform them into the saints of God. God's righteous character, I say, was vindicated at the cross, and the Lord Jesus was vindicated in his resurrection. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's God's confirmation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you for a few moments from Corinthians chapter 15 on this very thing. In chapter 15 of Corinthians, starting in verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is no good. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. I don't want to go any further in the reading of this, except to point this out. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God's confirmation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Do you remember that verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, which says that God marked out his Son from everybody else by the resurrection from the dead? What I'm trying to give to you is this, the import of the resurrection from the dead. First of all, from God's side, God raised him from the dead to prove to man that this Jesus is his Son. I have had the privilege of being overseas. I've talked to all kinds of people in different lands of the world. And in teaching some headhunters on the island of Taiwan, in the Paiwan tribe, in the Army tribe, this became the issue. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, we haven't anything. Why should I leave the culture of my people and the religion of my fathers and the gods of my fathers and accept Jesus, a Jew who was crucified 1900 years ago? Well, there's only one answer. God raised him from the dead. When I asked them, have you ever seen anybody killed? Oh, yes, they said, and they laughed when they said that. Do you ever see them raised from the dead? Of course, that's impossible. Contrary to all human experience, God marked Jesus Christ out from everybody else by the resurrection from the dead. I'm quoting Romans 1:4, a literal translation of the verse. Now, what does it mean then? What is the import of this? And may I give a personal testimony here? I was preaching the gospel for at least 2 years before I realized the import, the tremendous import of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. I tell you, my friend, it transformed my ministry. I have no right, for example, to say to any man or woman, I don't care what their condition is, I can't say to a man or a woman, sir, if you will put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, he'll forgive you every sin, you'll pass from death to life, you'll be a recipient of eternal life, and so on. If Christ be not raised from the dead, I have no authority to make that statement. But if Christ be raised from the dead, he is the Son of God, he has put away our sins, then I can tell you, my friend, with positive assurance, with the authority of the Word of God, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you will immediately pass from death to life. Now, I said a moment ago, it transformed my ministry. So let me just take up three or four things, will you? What is the import of the resurrection of Christ to you and to me? I'm talking now to Christians. What does it mean to you? First of all, may I say, it means that the sin question has been settled once for all forever. The account is closed. Take, for example, a passage like Hebrews 9:26. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How do you know he put away your sin? You say the Bible tells me that. But where in the Bible does it tell you that? How is it confirmed? How do you know he put away your sin? The resurrection is the answer. God raised him from the dead. Take Hebrews 10:12. This man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. How do you know he put away your sin? God raised him from the dead. Take 1 John 3:5. You know, says John, that he was manifested to take away our sin. How do you know he took away your sin? God raised him from the dead. My friend, the account is closed. When I accepted Jesus Christ as living, glorified Savior as my Savior, I put my trust in him. I can stand in the presence of God and know that the account is closed. As Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10 says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. How do I know he'll not remember them any more forever? Because at the cross he put them away and guaranteed them to us in his resurrection. Oh, what a comfort, what a peace of heart this brings, to know that we will never again see our sins, to come in the presence of a holy, righteous God and know that the account is closed. No one can produce any evidence that we ever were sinners. The whole thing was accomplished at the cross. The account is closed. That's why in Romans chapter 8, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies us. He not only declares the account is closed, but he guarantees our righteousness, that he covers us with the righteousness of Christ. Take Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Now, the resurrection doesn't justify us. The resurrection is the guarantee of our justification. Allow me to quote that verse this way. He was delivered up because of our offenses, and he was raised again because of our justification. Now chapter 5, the very next chapter, verse 9 says, much more being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, being declared righteous on the ground of his shed blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The resurrection is the guarantee of it. It's the guarantee that we have eternal life. In John 14, verse 19, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. If Christ be not raised from the dead, we've got no hope of eternal life. But our Lord said, you remember in John chapter 5, the Father hath given to the Son to have life in himself. And how can I have eternal life if Jesus Christ is still in the tomb? There's no hope at all. No hope at all. As it says in Corinthians 15, those who are asleep in Christ have perished. What is the hope when we lay our loved ones to one side? The guarantee of resurrection. Where do I get that guarantee? Jesus Christ himself has burst the bands of the tomb. Allow me to quote from Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. At the end of verse 17, you remember, he's the first and the last. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I carry on my girdle the authority of death and of hell. Death cannot touch a believer without the permission from the Savior. He has authority over death and of hell. Isn't it wonderful to know that death can't touch a believer until the Lord Jesus Christ gives permission? My friend, when Jesus was raised from the dead, our Lord was given authority over all death and all hell. I tell you, it's a declaration from God that death and hell have been defeated. Allow me to quote that verse again from Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Talking about the Lord coming into the human race, for what purpose? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime were subject to bondage. And these are just empty words if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. So I say the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a guarantee. Can I put it this way? It's God's personal guarantee to you and to me that our sin question has been settled forever. It's God's guarantee to you and to me that we stand before him in all the righteousness of Christ. It's God's guarantee to you and to me that we have eternal life, and that one of these days the dead in Christ are going to be raised. And those of us who are alive and remain at that time shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. That's why Paul says in Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, we do not sorrow as the rest who have no hope. Our hope is based upon a living Savior. As Peter could write, we have been begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who by him do believe in God who raised him from the dead, that your faith and your hope might be in God. That's verse 21 and verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And one could quote many scriptures concerning this. I want this to be very clear in your mind, that our Savior in his resurrection guarantees that he's the Son of God, and that his work at the cross perfectly satisfied God. And this is God's personal guarantee to you, that if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, his Son, all these things are yours. The account of sin is closed. Eternal life is yours. You'll be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear, living, glorified Son. See, friend, isn't it worth having a Savior like this? My, what peace, what joy, what blessing he gives. Now, may I just suggest one more thing? In Acts 17:31, when Paul went down to these philosophical Athenians at Athens, you remember? He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection, and they mocked him and said, what's this strange doctrine you bring about one being raised from the dead? So Paul gave his message, and then he ends his message with verse 30 and 31. The times of this ignorance God winked at, that is, from Abraham to the cross, God let the nations go their own way. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn round. Why? Why? Because he hath set apart a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some mocked, some scoffed, and some said, we'll hear thee again. Certain ones cleave unto him. Which causes me to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the guarantee of salvation to the believer. But my friend, it's the guarantee of judgment to the unbeliever. Just as sure as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, just so sure are believers of their eternal welfare. But by the same token, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God's guarantee of judgment to those who reject him. Friend, allow me to make another statement, may I? The resurrection, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, God is declaring that he rejects every method of man to save himself. You remember Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. When God raised his Son from the dead, he's telling the whole world, he's telling you, my friend, that he will accept no works of any man for salvation. And Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is God declaring to the world and to every man and woman he will accept no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ his Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So I repeat it, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, guarantee of salvation to his people who trust him, and the guarantee of judgment to those who reject him. God forbid that any of you should reject his precious Son, who died to redeem you out of all iniquity. And he wants to purify to himself a people for his possession. You accept the Savior today, and the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.